CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to CPA After Dark. I am your host, Kristen, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Marette.
Hi, guys.
We have a fun one for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the pitfalls of owning your own business.
Yeah, I mean, where do we start? Some of the pitfalls. There's so many. I guess we could start in my favorite area, which is finances. There's a lot of, not pitfalls, but traps you need to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah, like the biggest one, honestly, I think is that obviously we want to make all of our money disappear, right? You want to write off everything you possibly can. So Uncle Sam thinks, oh, wow, you're broke, or you did, you know, very little money this year. And that's great for the purpose of giving money to Uncle Sam, like paying your taxes. But it's terrible if you ever want to apply for a loan and get and use your credit for something financial, like buying a vehicle, buying a house, things like in that nature. That is probably like the top on my list of pitfalls that people don't think about.
Yeah. And we always call it the art of the tax return, because there is a little bit of an art to it in terms of just, you know, showing that you're making money, but obviously you want to deduct everything that you can, but then not, like you said, you might have a different goal than just not paying taxes. And I've seen business owners who are like, I could probably find more deductions, but I don't really want to because, you know, I'm trying to get this loan. But then I've also had discussions in my training group about clients who will lie about the expenses that they have on their business in order to get, like, say, a loan for a home. And then we get into the area of real estate fraud. And so, yeah, the art of the tax return, how far can you push it to be ethical, but also achieve whatever goal you want? And everybody does always, their main goal is let me pay less taxes, let me push it. And sometimes they're pushing it too far in that way to pay the least amount of taxes. Right. But you don't ever think about the other side where, you want to actually get a loan for something. And now you've shown, you've pushed it with your deductions and now they think you have no money. Or kind of that topic we were discussing not long ago in my group about the real estate fraud thing. And it was interesting to hear all the practitioners' opinions on it, because some practitioners would say, no, that's not real estate fraud. If they want to not claim all their expenses, they don't have to. And then others were like, that's absolutely fraud. If you have these valid expenses and you're really not making that much money in your business, you need to show it, because, they shouldn't be giving you a loan if you're not making the money. So definitely you're definitely onto something when it comes to the financial statements and how much they affect the outcome of whatever goal you're trying to reach.
Yeah, we were in a position back in 2020 where we never thought we were leaving New Jersey when we decided to move. In a million years, we were not leaving. We were not going to leave till my daughter was 18. We wanted her to graduate high school, and that was going to be like when we would talk about going south, which is what we did. But when COVID hit, it made things really easy because she was out of school for so long. It was easy for us to pick up and move, because in New Jersey, nobody was seeing anybody. It was very much full lockdown. So when we came to South Carolina, things were open and people were doing things and schools were, partially like in session. So we had all these things going on. So we're like, all right, let's move south. So we went to go get a mortgage. And I wasn't thinking loans while I've had my business since 2016. I wasn't thinking about like, oh, I could possibly need to buy a house. Like, car loans are fairly easy to get, but a house, you have to be able to show a substantial income. And owning my own business, and Chris is, he's technically retired. He's on a pension. So he wasn't even working for my business at that time. So at that point, it was like me jumping through tons of hoops trying to prove that like my income really is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I was constantly supplying every month. I was supplying a new profit and loss statement because the mortgage company wanted to know that my business was viable. And then it came down to proving that I was sending invoices to my clients. It was a whole like cascade of different hoops that I had to continue to jump through. Mm-hmm. Down to, we got to Las Vegas literally like maybe 4 days before we closed on the house. We went to Vegas for the weekend. Bad idea, but the timing was when it worked. So we went and it was like the Thursday or Friday. And then we were closing whatever, like Monday or Tuesday of the following week. And we get there and I'm getting emails from the mortgage company like, we can't prove that you own your own business. And I'm like, it's an online, completely remote business. My phone number, my cell phone number is the phone number that you would call if you call my business. There's no like, you email me the same way that, you know, the mortgage company's emailing me. And she's like, there's not enough of a separation. And I was like, this is my own business. I don't know how to tell you anything different. So I got her a couple extra things that she needed, invoices and stuff to show that my business is still in business. And I finally got the clear to close via email while we were in Las Vegas. It was so stressful. And all of this because we weren't showing a huge income, mm-hmm. because we really never, it was never forced on us. So we really, I don't know, it was never an issue before. Now,
but you still
it
don't,
becomes a
you,
huge issue.
You do a lot of tax planning and tax strategy, and I know you've continued mm-hmm. to purchase homes. So have you had to do that every time since then? Because you're still rocking it in terms of not showing too much income.
Right. Yeah, no, we haven't had that issue again, not to that extent. Like, on a quarterly basis, they'll make me send in my profit and loss. And we've even bought properties within, say, a quarter, within like the quarter, mm-hmm. bought one in the beginning of the quarter, one at the end of the quarter. And if it hasn't come time for a new quarterly profit and loss statement, I don't even have to supply them with a new one. They just go with the old one. So I've been really good with that. I guess the fact that COVID was happening during the time of me closing on my current home, I think that is what people were really worried about, is like, is your money just COVID related? Is it going to go away? Can you really afford this? Meanwhile, my mortgage in New Jersey, because of property taxes, was like double the price of my mortgage in South Carolina. So I was like, if I can afford to pay that and not default ever, this is going to be a walk in the park. Yeah. But no, we haven't had any issues buying properties since that. The only other thing I would say is when we bought the Airbnb, we did put 25% down instead of 20%. I'm not 100% sure. I think it had something to do with the interest rate. If we put 25% down, I think it knocked a significant amount off. And because the interest rates were so high, it actually did help with the mortgage payment significantly. Mm-hmm. But we really haven't had to jump through hoops.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know enough about, you know, the actual process that they require, you know, business owners to go through. So maybe it was also the fact that you've continued to build, you know, mm-hmm. a sort of like a portfolio of, you know, just proof mm-hmm. that you're able to, you know, sustain all of the loans and pay them, you know, like mm-hmm. kind of like how you get more credit with a credit card. If you are able to make the payments on time and every month and you're never late right. and you pay off your balance. So that could be part of it, but that is kind of interesting. We had that on a way smaller scale. When my husband left his W-2 job to come work for my business, he talked me into
just recently.
Yeah. He talked me into getting a new 4Runner. And I was like, you're leaving your job. You're crazy. And he's like, do you really want to try to prove to them, you know, that your business can sustain it and jump through all those hoops with the profit and loss and da, da, da? Or do you want to do it while I still have a W-2? I'm like, okay. And, you know, of course, we're making the payments and it's fine. Like, it wasn't fraud, but he did have a point mm-hmm. and he brought that, you know, to my attention because we
just
do the
easier.
Same thing. We're always trying to make it low and, you know, tax plan and I wasn't expecting mm-hmm. on, you know, making that purchase. And so we kind of had to pull the trigger. Or, you know, he's like, what about in 6 months? Then where will we be? You don't know. You don't know what we'll have to go through. Right. So it is very hard owning a business. I know that we are going to talk about that at a different time, just about, you know, those kinds of uncertainties and those stressors.
The struggles.
Yeah. But also just in while we're talking about the finance part, you know, you mentioned how you had to supply your profit and loss, even sometimes quarterly. And it just goes back to other episodes we've talked about with bookkeeping or making sure that you're organized. Or, I mean, these financial statements are really important. I had a client once, and I was only just doing her taxes every year. She's so sweet. And she emailed me and said, I need a balance sheet for this loan that I'm going for. And she has been in business for years, but she just kind of does everything herself on Excel. And she was like, what do I do? You know, how do I get a template? I don't even know what a balance sheet is. And so, you know, you have these times where all of a sudden you need to provide these statements and people are just so confused about what they are. So maybe I'll quickly go over them. So Kristen's talking about the profit and loss. That's your income minus your expenses with your net profit. That's one important statement that you want to have. And then the balance sheet, which is all of your assets. So if you have vehicles, your bank accounts, any assets, if you have accounts receivable, people owe you money and they haven't paid you yet. And then you've got your liabilities, which would be if you had any loans connected to your assets. Say you have a car up here. Yes, this car is my business asset. Oh, but I have a loan. And then the rest is your equity in the business. So, you know, those two statements, if you are a small business owner, you want to try to have those. The best way is obviously just using some sort of accounting software, because once you put in all the assets in your business, you put in all the loans that you have, you've got your expenses coming out and your income coming in, those statements just kind of generate themselves based on the information.
Yeah.
And if you're smaller and you're just doing it off of an Excel, you can pull a template and fill it out yourself. It's just a little more work, but definitely important to have no matter where you're at in your business.
Yeah. And like, we've talked about this before. I know you like QuickBooks. I like Wave. It's just having some kind of software. I'm sure there's a ton of different softwares out there that do all these things, but just having it, like you asked me for my balance sheet, while we're like in tax season. And I was like, I've never done one of those before. So I went into Wave, I clicked balance sheet and boom, it was there and I was able to send it right over. I didn't even have to think about it. So in a situation like that, where it can get really stressful, you have something, it's there. So it's just something to keep in mind, having that software, even if, and I keep an Excel sheet as well, just because I learned on it. That's where my accounting classes were like stemmed from. They stemmed from, or they made us use Excel. So because I learned on that, I feel like I have to do it.
I love your Excel sheet.
Even though it's more work.
Well, you have more things than the profit and loss is going to show as well. So,
yeah.
You know.
And they all kind of talk to each other. They tie in. So it is kind of a one-stop shop when you're on my Excel spreadsheet.
But did you know that a lot of small business owners don't even have the Excel program? And
Well, that was
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you.
I was just going to say, when I got my Mac, I was so against using Mac because for the longest time, they didn't have, it wasn't Microsoft compatible. And then once my computer took a dump again, and I think it was like a Toshiba or something, not important, but I was like, oh, I really liked the computer. And I was like, I need to go and I have to get the same, I wanted the same one, just a newer model. Mm-hmm. And the guy at Best Buy was like, why don't you get a Mac? And I was like, because it's not compatible with Microsoft and I need to use Excel. And he's like, no, Microsoft, I don't even know what it is, 360 or something. I don't know, but I can open it up on any computer that I'm on. Even with that, that's amazing. So now I even installed it on Chris's Mac. So if I don't have my computer, I can log into his, log in, throw in my password and everything, and I can pull up all my spreadsheets. That is amazing. So now I can't survive without my Mac.
I still don't have a Mac because I can't run my tax software on a Mac. And
oh, really?
No. And I've talked to other practitioners too, and they're like,
shame on them.
I do a mirror and I do like a fake thing and all this stuff, and I'm like, I bought a Mac and I returned it. I'm like, oh, I can't use my tax software? Like, no way. I'm not.
That's a problem.
Huge problem. So, but I didn't know that about Excel, but it doesn't surprise me that they would say it wasn't compatible. But it does, it's a struggle for a lot of small business owners, because especially in the business world, Excel is used for like everything. And, you know, I even have a template that I'll send my little small business owners if they don't have a profit and loss and they haven't. It's kind of like, it's cute. I've offered it for free on my Instagram before. It's just a little freebie I sent out. And the first sheet is a template profit and loss. And then the second sheet, and it's got a little spot for inventory. And then the second spot is to give me all of the information for your vehicle. The third is give me all the information for your home office. And I've sent it out before and they're like, I don't have Excel. And I'm like, okay. But you know what a good backup is? And I think I figured out how to convert it. You can go to Google Sheets and they have Google Sheets, which is basically Excel on a cloud. And it's not as robust. It's a little more clunky, but I do have clients who like, these are my creative clients that don't even have a computer half the time. They're like, I'm so busy just living my best life, being a creator. I have to go to the library to talk to you over a computer. And I'm like, okay, use Google Sheets, log into your Google account. So even if you don't have, if you're a creative type without Excel, you can always use Google Sheets. And that's a good place to kind of get some stuff in there.
Listen, you're making an effort. So that is, give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to the cutest business owner the other day and I said, okay, you're going to, you know, do this and I'll get you set up in your portal. Don't use the app. It's not good. Get on a computer for to get into your portal. He said, oh, so are you saying I need to buy a computer? And I was like, ugh. Yes.
How do you own a business and not own a computer?
If you want to do your business finances, you need a computer. Please don't kill yourself handwriting all of your expenses. Like, just don't. Just use the modern tools that you have to make your life easier. No wonder these people don't want to do their finances. They're like handwriting it all out. That sucks.
Right. Oh, I wouldn't want to do that either. Yeah. I do have another one that it was, I guess, a pitfall of owning your own business. It's more on the real estate side, though, because this kind of blew my mind. Maybe a year ago, me and Chris went to go get a loan for a vehicle. And we were like, one of our friends works for one of the local credit unions. So we're like, oh, I'll always support local business, small business, whatever. So we're like, oh, we'll go to the credit union. And credit unions usually have better rates and that kind of stuff. So they're easier to work with. It's more personal instead of like so corporate. So we're like, okay, we're going to go this route. So, and we've never, never had an issue getting a loan before. Our credit's amazing. Never had an issue. You know, everything is organized, should be a non-issue. So we fill out the application and we get like a whole slew of questions. And I was like, this is weird. So I'm answering the questions, I'm sending them what they need, and they send me more questions. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, this is a lot for a car loan. So I answer all the questions, send in more stuff, sending in bank statements. I'm sending. They send me more and I'm like, what is happening? So I finally send in and I'm like, is everything okay? I've never had to supply all of this information for a car loan before. And they're like, well, you know, your debt to income ratio is very, very high. And I was like, how? And they're like reading off, they're like, well, do you own a home at this address, this address, this address, this address, this address? I was like, yeah, but they're all... they're investment properties. And they're like, you have loans on them. And I was like, yeah, no shit. I have renters in there with leases showing that this renter is assigned to this lease and this is what they pay me. And this is what my mortgage payment is, which I'm cash flowing on all of them. So I was like, they're not debts. If anything, it's more cash flow for me. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's not my debt. And that was one thing, a mortgage broker had told me, a lender had told me, your investment properties are not your debts as long as you have somebody on a lease in the properties. Mm-hmm. So as long as my properties are full of people and they're paying me, I'm good. So all I have to do is supply the lease saying that this debt is theirs and we are in the clear. And the credit unions, I've dealt with it twice now, two different credit unions, and they look at financing loans differently than a regular commercial bank does. So that made it very challenging. So we didn't get the loan. Long story short, long story longer.
You did all that work. We didn't get the loan to them.
I did all that work and they're like, we cannot give you a loan. Your debt to income ratio is too high. And I was like, wow. And I didn't get the loan. So we ended up going through normal channels, through the car dealership, whatever.
Yeah.
I was just trying to like go through a friend, but yeah, we ended up going the normal route, which was quicker, easier, and pain-free. We got the loan, but yeah, it was just true. Funny that like the credit union wouldn't. That. It was weird. And it's, I mean, mortgage companies, not non-issue. I can buy another piece of property today and have no issues as long as I have enough money in the bank to, God forbid, have to pay monthly on all the mortgages. Mm-hmm. If I don't have renters in there, they always, that's what they look at, to make sure you have enough assets in the bank and your retirement counts towards those assets. As long as you have enough money in the bank for all those properties, all those mortgages, then you're fine. They'll get you the loan. So, and then obviously having a lease is even better. Yeah. But that was another, that was a weird hoop to jump through that we didn't even get to make good on.
Yeah. So everyone who is a small business owner, and we talk so much about purchasing rentals and what good tax strategies it is, if you like that, if you like real estate, something to be aware of, because who wants to waste their time filling out application after application after application, if that's how, maybe you ask the credit union before you even get going on it. You know,
yeah, like what's the problem?
Yeah, is this your, are you going to care about the fact? And that did happen to us again on a smaller scale when we were looking to purchase a different home. We had thought about it and we were talking to one of the lenders and we were going to turn our house into a rental. And he said the same thing, as long as you have like a lease with, you know, someone who is going to assign lease and they're saying they're going to pay for this, you know, and you can show us that you have a renter. And my sister was like, I'll be your renter. I'll sign the lease. And I was like, we ended up not going through with it, but it was the same thing. They were telling me it was fine as long as you could prove, you know, that you had, that we were going to have someone in here when we moved out that was going to be taking over the mortgage.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Because then essentially it's not your debt, it's their debt.
Yeah.
As long as they're, you know, making good on it, it's their debt.
Yeah.
It's covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, not to go off course, but your primary residence, I didn't realize this. I just recently actually realized this when we got approved to be accredited investors in oil. Your primary residence does not count towards your assets. Did you know that?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Because it's not an income. It is totally debt. It's always going to be debt because you have to make mortgage payments. Mm-hmm. You have to pay your taxes. Even if you have no mortgage, you have to pay. Mm-hmm. And there's no money, no cash flow coming in on your primary residence, where all your other properties, investment properties, short-term rentals, long-term rentals, those all count as assets because you have cash flow coming in. You have income coming in from them.
Yeah, that does make sense. And even if your house was paid off, you still have the expense of maintaining the home and paying the property taxes. And it's never going to make you money unless you sell it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh. Good to know. See you.
I just recently heard that.
I know all about the tax strategies for real estate, but I'm still a baby when it comes to actually rolling up my sleeves and getting in dirty, you know?
Yeah. I'll teach you the ways of real estate. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to need that. I was actually looking at Pennsylvania real estate. We're getting off topic again about like the transfer tax. If you were going to be, you know, like we've talked before about deeding your property to the LLC, and in Pennsylvania, they have a transfer tax, and it's just also like kind of new to me, but so interesting. And anyway, I don't want to get off topic, but we can do another episode soon on real estate.
Yeah.
Cause it's my favorite.
I do have one final pitfall, and it was one that hit me hard when I had just quit my day job and started doing, you know, training, nutrition, YouTube, everything, like everything I do now, I started doing this full time, and I could not wrap my head around why there were no hours left in the day and I felt like I was getting nothing done. Scheduling. If you do not schedule your time appropriately, the day will pass you by and you will have accomplished nothing. Mm-hmm. The first few months that I had quit my regular job, I was getting more done when I was going to work, coming home, and like I was on a schedule. I had my daughter, we owned a gym. Like I had a lot going on, but I was so regimented with like get up at 4 a.m., go to the gym, coach, go to work for 8-9 hours a day, come home, coach, cook dinner, work on my clients, go to bed. Like everything was very scheduled. As soon as I quit, I was like, oh my God, there's not enough hours in the day. How does this happen? Because I wasn't organized. I was not scheduling my time according to the hours in the day. Now, if you're not in my phone calendar, my Google calendar, it doesn't exist. I live and breathe by that calendar. And most of the time, I send Google, like I'll even send Chris a Google invite. If we have, like tomorrow we're getting one of the vehicles tinted and he's like, oh, can you put this in your calendar? I was like, sure can. And I sent the invite to him. So it goes to his calendar too. So I'm very, very regimented. But if you do not organize and schedule your time, you're going to have issues being a self-employed small business owner.
I mean, that is very hard for me. I feel like I, especially having so many different clients with a little task here and a little task there. And, you know, it's very common, you know, in our group to have people be like, how do you schedule? What do you use for your software to keep track of everything? I've tried software. I do use my Google Calendar a lot, but I still feel like there's sometimes little tasks that slip through, super busy. You know, I don't, my texts will be just filled. And yesterday, I actually got so desperate. That's funny you bring up scheduling because I am struggling. I totally feel like there's not enough hours in the day. I got out my old whiteboard that I haven't even used. I put some electrical tape on it. So that's all I had was electrical tape, made some columns and was like, to do today, to do this week, upcoming, because I've tried to put it in ClickUp. My husband loves ClickUp. I'm like, I don't even want to take the time to go into ClickUp to put it in there. It annoys me. We have another.
I never even heard of that.
It's annoying. He loves it. And it's great. So many people love it. You can do tasks and you can color code them and you can time them and you can send them to the employees and it's great. But I just like, I feel like it's more work for me to even learn and get set up and do. And then I have to go into my computer and check ClickUp and I don't do it. We have a client portal.
Google Calendar is all you need.
It's
so easy.
Kind of, but mine is like little tasks for people. I need to do better at
scheduling. So what I do is I will put in, so we've even talked about like journaling and meditation. So there's times when like I'll sit down and I'll journal like, and when I say journaling, I'm not writing down like my deepest, darkest secrets. I'm writing down like you said, things to do. Like, what do I need to accomplish today? And when it gets overwhelming, it's like, I better start writing this down because I have to do all this tomorrow and I'm going to forget. And I'll start writing it all down. And a lot of times me and Chris will sit down and he'll start rattling things off. And I'm like, how am I going to get like 30 tasks done in, you know, the next day? How is this even going to happen? And I'll schedule it out. And if they're little tasks, I'll say like, okay, from like 10 to 11, I'm going to accomplish like these 10 like tiny tasks. And normally that's enough time where I'm going to even have like wiggle room in there. I might even get to walk the dog too. But if you know like you have like five like tiny tasks, program them into like a nice big window in the day. So you know, I'm going to sit down at the computer and I'm going to accomplish X, Y, Z in that, you know, hour period. And once you've accomplished it, you're done. You get a break.
Yeah.
It's over. But at least you've programmed your time and you're not going to miss it.
It's also hard too now, you know, when you're self-employed, especially if it's just you and you do your business and it's your baby and it's your life and you've been doing it forever. When you do bring on help, whether it's an assistant or your husband, all of a sudden now there's this extra part of scheduling, which is letting the other person, like you said, you sit down with Chris and you go over it. We haven't been doing that. And he's like, what do you want me to do today? And I'm already, you know, like five brain cells deep into what I'm doing. I'm like, huh? And so it's definitely an adjustment. And we had a business builder in our tax pro training the other day where Mark was talking about when you scale your business, you have to bring on, you know, you bring on an assistant, someone to help you with billing and all of this stuff. And I mean, mm-hmm. everybody deals with the same struggle of delegating. And they're like, I don't want to mm-hmm. take the time to train someone, and I can just do it easier and quicker if it's myself. And so along with scheduling, I think entrepreneurs in general just really struggle with that delegation of the task too. Like I have to schedule, and I have to schedule for you, and we have to make it work together, and we have to communicate. Mm-hmm. And everybody works so differently. So yeah, I probably need to utilize my Google Calendar more, because you're not the first business owner who I've heard who says they live and die by their Google Calendar. And then I'm hoping having it on the whiteboard is kind of like your journaling, where it's just a brain dump. It's like, dump it all out.
Yeah. Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
Dump it on the whiteboard, and then you could put it into your calendar.
Yeah. But then my kids tried to touch it the other day, and I was like, don't touch the whiteboard.
No.
What is this, mom?
Mommy's off limits.
That's my mind. And you could erase it with your elbow. Get away.
Oh, no.
No, maybe not.
That's what happens when you have tiny children.
Yeah, and an archaic organizing system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's all I've got. I loved your pitfalls. I don't know if I've got anything for finances more, except for all the stuff we always harp on. Don't commingle, you know, separate your bank accounts, mm-hmm. make your life easy, automate your finances. But I liked your pitfalls, because those are actually specific to problems that you've faced and problems I've faced, like real life problems mm-hmm. that you don't think are going to come to bite you. And then you're like, oh,
yeah, great. Hellish ordeals, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn from us.
You have your heart set on something. Yeah. But I hope you guys like this episode of CPA After Dark. A little bit of shooting from the hip today. And I mean, this comes right from, you know, things that happen in our everyday life. And we're just bringing, you know, up front to you guys. So hope you guys liked it. And we will see you guys next time on CPA After Dark.